afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's Janet McNally of Life Playground Coaching. I'm here today with a dear friend and a very wonderful person, Simone Lee. Simone is a Reiki teacher and a master in animal communication, and she is here today to share with us some tips and insights into how you can have a better relationship, or the whole relationship that you should have as an owner with your pet. Good afternoon, my friend. How are you?
Pretty good, Janet. How are you?
I'm awesome, thank you. Now, we've had chats over the years about animals, our pets, and we are both massive pet lovers and
pet owners.
You've had pets from, you know, knee high up, haven't you?
Yeah, I've had lots and lots of pets. I've had just about everything except for a turtle, and I'm trying to convince my partner to let me have a turtle now.
Well, you've got a snake.
I've got a snake. I've got a cat at the moment. My Siamese fighting fish passed away last year. I've had ducks, hamsters, guinea pigs, mice, everything, birds.
A lot. Amazing. Tell us when you discovered, I know we chatted about this, you don't see it so much as a gift but as an ability, is that correct? To talk of animals or to feel animals and communicate with them?
I see it more as an ability that everyone can do. Anyone that is a pet owner is communicating with their pet already, just in some shape or form. I just take it to a deeper connection or the next level up, if you want to call it that. Always been able to do it. Yeah. Well, it was pretty normal that you could talk to your pet and hang out with them, know what they were feeling, tell you what your day was like, all that sort of thing.
Really? So for you, it was just normal, you just heard it and or you could do it and that was it. A bit like being left-handed or right-handed.
Younger, it was more a sense of feeling what they were feeling. And knowing that feeling. I could feel when they felt unwell. I could feel when they were tired. I could feel when they wanted to snuggle up and cuddle you. As a child, doesn't mean I always responded to it.
Yeah. And when did you realize that you should, you know, when did you kind of realize, let's say, that this wasn't the norm and all of a sudden people were kind of going, can you come and chat with my dog or my cat or my hamster?
It was when I was an adult, obviously, say late 20s. I had a cat called Cubby then. She was one of my best friends, connected pet cat. And I'd go visit friends and their dog would say to me, oh, I didn't like where mummy took me today. And I'd say that to the friend and they'd be like, what do you mean? Like, did you see me out? How do you know he didn't like it? And I'd say, oh, he's telling me. I can feel that he didn't like where you took him out. And it's not that I'm seeing people's faces and everything. It's like this particular one, she took him to a coffee shop, but she sat on the footpath where it was a big walkway and the dog was in the way where he sat. Mm. And so all I saw and felt was like it was really crowded and lots of chairs. So I saw lots of leg chairs and lots of table chairs and that he was always doing this, trying to dodge out of people's walkway.
And it started there, and now you're across the globe doing readings and communicating with pet owners across the globe. That's really cool.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty amazing. It's I connect with them through a photograph. So you know how the Aboriginals, or the older generations, don't like their photo being taken because it says that it captures an essence of their soul. It's part of their belief.
Yes.
A photo does capture an essence of your energy, and that's my link in. So that's me calling your direct line, so to speak, on a mobile to connect with the animal and feel what they're feeling and have a free-flowing conversation like you and I.
Oh, wow. Well, I think the photo thing is going to be another interview at some stage, because that's actually quite fascinating in my opinion.
It is. It's lots of fun. It's the doorway in. So.
Yeah. Well, that in itself is, yeah. Okay, I think that could be the second chat we'll have.
Okay.
So when you are, okay, so obviously, you know, the owner comes to you. Is there a common reason an owner is coming to you? Do you notice a common thread, or is that, you know, what is an owner seeking when they come to work with you?
Okay, well, I don't usually get clients and animals coming to see me because they're happy. There's usually a situation or there's a behavioural difference that they can't understand. They might have been to the vets first of all, and then they're coming to me just to try and work it out and see what's going on from the animal's perspective. If it's not an illness, if it's an illness, you know, I recommend going straight to the vet because I don't diagnose, the vet does diagnose. I can tell you the pain location that they're feeling and the pain intensity, but definitely can't diagnose.
Yeah.
Usually it's about if there's change in the dynamics of the family that's creating stress.
Mm.
Whether stress is felt from the owners first and then passed down to the animals, because animals are very, very sensitive to energy, very sensitive to change. And if they're older, they definitely don't like change. Just like some of us get a bit rigid as we get older, so do animals.
So grumpy old people as such.
Yeah. I wasn't going to say that, but yeah.
I'll say it. Okay. I'm grumpy and I'm in my 40s. So the stress can come from the owner and pass into it to an animal, you just said.
Yeah, the owner can be stressed about, can be anything that they're stressed about. They can be stressed about work, have a lot of responsibility, financial stress, even in addition to the family, whether it's the furry kind or the human kind, it's change.
Yeah.
And depending on how the owners manage the change, manage their stress, will definitely reflect on the animals.
Are the animals a conduit even? Would they have that role in a family dynamic?
Yeah. I always say that the animals are a barometer of how we're managing our stress.
Yes.
So if the animals are stressed, I would check myself first to see whether I'm stressed or not, because stress sneaks up on us, me too. So I'll check myself, and then if I can see that I'm stressed, I really compose my energy, try and look at things differently, and then connect with my pet to let him know, Nero, the kitty cat, know that it's okay, I understand now. It's their way of communicating with us to say stress is in the house.
Yeah. So in other words, take ownership of the, you know, obviously take ownership of the situation and see where you are at in relation to what's going on in your world, of which your cat or your dog or your animal is obviously a vital part in that.
Exactly.
And then communicate with them that you've got it and that you're going to change it.
Some animals are healing animals, just like some of us humans. Some are able to heal, are able to give that really calming energy. So some animals do take that role, but not all of them do that. They've all got their own personalities, they've got their own purpose, they've got their own way of what they want to get to.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think it was last year in England or the year before, the cat that was at the nursing home and literally would help the people pass over. This cat, there was a story of a cat that if he started to sit next to you, you're out of here.
Yeah, so the cat, I think after the fourth or fifth time that the staff noticed that the cat would stay with a person until they passed, they would start notifying the relatives, because the cat, I think, had 20 out of 20 straight hits. And it gave the family time to come over, say their goodbyes, and it was quite peaceful, cathartic for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was a good kitty cat. That was quite a psychic kitty cat.
Yeah, it was. Another a great example that I heard lately was, you know, Abraham Hicks. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to one of the workshops, and, you know, Abraham had said one of the ways to actually take you out of, let's say, a negative mindset or in that negative way and realign yourself or just even become neutral is actually to hold a pet. and to you know, to stroke a pet, because it's unconditional. You're in a moment of unconditional sharing and love with no expectation. And you know, Abraham says a pet is one of the best ways to actually experience that.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of scientific research has gone into the role a pet plays in a person's life, and they've now done measurement and studies to show that people that do have pet owners do live a little bit longer lives. Their stress levels are lower, which affects their hormonal system, their nervous system, all of that stuff. There's also been studies on bringing animals into the workplace decreases work stress.
I've heard that too. Unfortunately, you know, where we live in Australia, that's considered a massive OH&S problem.
Some places are now letting them in. I take my snake to work.
Do you?
Yeah, I've only just started doing it because I want to hang out with him a bit more.
Yeah.
So I take him to work now, but I do hide him with clients.
Yeah, that they're not doing this.
Yeah, they're like, he's in his little container, and then he just hangs around my neck.
Yeah, you're like, there, I'd still be like, is he getting out? Fantastic. So, you know, the whole thing with the pet is just, you know, as you said, there's the neurological and physical difference, stress levels, you know, just the ability to help you lower them. And there's a lot of us with stress out there, particularly our city dwellers. I mean, you know, years ago when we were farmers as such, we had land, and we probably had animals, if there were cows or pigs or whatever, you know, and goats and that. So animals were around us. But, you know, this last 100 years, we've moved into to cities, and, you know, you go out at between 5 and 7 p.m. every evening, and there's just this collective dog owners in the park, and they're meant to be walking their dogs, but really the dogs are just off the leads and they're just hanging out, as is my observation of most of them.
Yeah, it creates a community because like, city dwellers are quite autonomous. They're individual. It's not so much a community. So you've got to find ways to create that community now. And animals, especially dogs, who've got to take them for walks all the time, do help you create a community for yourself.
It's amazing to see.
Yeah, you live by yourself. How nice is it to be greeted?
Yeah.
A pet when you come home.
Yep, you see them all huddled in the middle, and the animals are running around them. Where I live now, there's a pig, a little beautiful little pig that,
really?
Yeah, that is been in, like, only this last couple of weeks. He's become a star of Redfern, let me tell you.
How big
Redfern
is your pig?
He's about this big.
Oh, I've got to come and see him.
Come over and see him one evening. Come out one morning or afternoon. Okay. The owner's often at. Brings him to the pub up the road as well, so he's on his lead hanging outside the pub. It's everyone in the area has heard about it and knows about him, and he runs around with the dogs no problem at all, hangs out.
Fantastic.
Plays with them.
That's so cute.
But it's this amazing sense of, you know, as I say, you know, I used to laugh at the pet owners just huddled around, but you know, you're quite right in what you said. We lack community these days. You know, a lot of us don't. We've left our homes. We, you know, so we're not in that village. We're not in that kind of support group. So, and anyone with a dog, it's ooh-ah and cooey, and you know,
exactly.
You know, you're absolutely right. It gives us that sense of belonging. You know, even if it's just for 15, 20 minutes a day to some sort of community.
Exactly, and when I do sessions or consultations with people. They make it all about their pet, like why are they doing this, why are they acting that way, why won't they do this, and it's not just about the animal, it's the dynamic or the exchange between the owner and the animal. There's two parts to the family, if it's just an owner and pet, so there's two people, or cool animals, people, sorry, there's two species there. And both of them have a responsibility and ownership for themselves. They can't just put it all on the pet.
I get it. So, and you know, obviously, you know, and I haven't mentioned this earlier, you do have a coaching background, so you're able to help an owner, you could say, see their blind spots or their behaviour, that they're able, you know, to help them change that, and coach them around that and give them tools and systems to be aware of how their behavior needs to change as well.
Yeah, and how it affects their pets as well, because sometimes they're not aware of what their actions are actually doing to the pet. It's a pact between the two. So if you want you to get your pet to behave a certain way, the pet has some conditions that they're going to place on the owner as well. So it's getting them to make a pact that they both agree to, that they both agree to follow an action, and then usually you'll have a common ground harmony happening.
Fantastic. Because a lot of people tend to, and my hand slices through the air here, to let one of the pets in their house be number one and not the owner be number one. Like, you know, not that, you know, not, I'm not saying, you know, big chief dominates, but yes, he does.
Yeah, we've chatted about this, Janet.
People, I let my cat, my oldest cat, absolutely runs the house. He's number one. I am number two.
Don't worry, my partner says he's the bottom of the pack. Animals come first.
But that is one of the dynamics about animals that, I could be wrong here, but is different than humans. I mean, or humans might have a pack order. It's definitely more prevalent in an animal pack, but you know, the animals definitely come into the house and they feel their way out. They rank themselves.
Yeah, definitely, because it's pack mentality, pack order. And when you bring a new pet in, it shuffles and ruffles all the pets that are really already there trying to work out their position again. And you might have a challenge. That's where you might have a challenge come in. And that's why, Janet, it's important that the humans be pack
So for listeners out there that are thinking of getting a new pet and they already have, say, pets in the house, what would be their best way, from your experience, to introduce a new pet? And I know it may depend on the type of animal, but what could people do to make it as stress-free for the household as possible?
I'd really look at the home, the family dynamics, and actually see who the leader is in the pack. And if it's the animal or the animals, I would suggest reasserting yourself first.
Yeah.
Okay, it's really, really important to reassert yourself as a pack leader. And animals listen to you. They'll ask you how your day is. Some of them can feel what you're feeling. Some of them will hear what you're saying. Some of them will just get an inkling and know what you're saying. I would warn them that you're thinking of getting an animal, a new animal. Say it out loud. You'll see from their body language how they respond. When I tell Nero I want to get a dog, he's out the door. And I go, but he'll be your baby brother, still out the door, comes back in, looks at me like, are we over this yet?
Yeah.
So I'd be warming them up to the idea. It's important that animals have a role in the house, have a job in the house, so reminding them of what their job is. And depending on the animal, so if you've got dogs and you're introducing a new dog, take them outside first. Introduce them outside on a common place and then bring them home together.
Got it.
So they're meeting on common ground, but the original pack that you've got still needs to know that you're the pack leader. I can't emphasize that enough.
Yeah.
Some people like their pets being the leader. Obviously for you it's worked out well, but it might not work out well if you introduce a new pet.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've just got to look at what you want to do and the direction you take the family in.
Yeah. So as an owner and the owner of the pets, you know, you're saying establish yourself as the pack leader first.
Yeah.
Tell them that someone new's coming in, and you know, as you said, in situations with dogs, introduce them on neutral ground rather than bringing the dog into the house and dynamics going mad.
Because you've got ownership happening there.
Yeah. That's a fantastic tip.
Do it outside in the park, get them to know each other and you can bring them in together. But also introduce them outside and say, this is Ben, he's gonna come and live with us. We want you to show him the rules of the house. We want you to, you can give him the number one status in the animal world, the original dog, and say that Ben will be number two status and explain to Ben that he is to follow the other dog's lead.
Fantastic.
That way your energy is commanding it as you express it out loud.
Absolutely.
And again, you're asserting yourself as a pack leader.
Amazing. I love it. I love it. Simone, how can people find you to organize sessions to be able to get some more support and insight around how they can be a better owner and have a better relationship with their pets?
My website, it's simonelee.net, simonelee.net. I've got a blog out as well. You can get that on my website. Or on Facebook, Simone Lee, Animal Communicator.
Fantastic. And, of course, you work around the globe, and if people want face-to-face, you do that via Skype as well.
Yep, face-to-face via Skype. If they're close within my vicinity, we can do an in-person one. So there's many options out there.
Fantastic.
And people will see a difference in their pet while I'm chatting to them. They'll see them respond to what I'm saying.
Yeah. And I, people, guys and ladies and gentlemen out there, I have to say, despite my one being number one, I have taken on a lot of the tips someone has given me over the years. And a situation was just a week and a half ago, my little Burmese had to go in for an operation, and I was booking it on the phone, and I looked at him and I said, "You have to have an operation. Are you okay with that?" And he just came right to me and sat beside me. So that was, it was him going, I'm going to be okay, Mum.
Isn't
so
that beautiful, and it's stress-free then.
Absolutely. And you just saw him a bit earlier on before we filmed, because he had his op last week, and, you even picked up immediately that he was feeling better, so.
Yeah, he is feeling better. He even notices it himself. He's like, "I do feel better," which is good.
Yeah, so.
He's a smart one, big chick. That's why he's got you wrapped around his paw.
I know. What can I say? So, please, ladies and gentlemen, take on these tips, and I highly encourage you to work with Simone at some stage, because it does make a huge difference in your life when you can really have that amazing relationship with your animals.
Thanks,
Jenna. So Simone, thank you so much for your time. I wish you, as I say, glow, keep being out there and making a difference around the world for all these pet owners out there. And I look forward. I think we're going to have to follow up on that photo chat as well. That can be another interview in a couple of weeks' time.
Not a problem. And I've got to come and meet that pig in your neighbourhood.
All right, you come over and meet the pig next week or something if you're around, if you've got some time.
Perfect.
All
Thanks,
right.
Janet. Thank you for interviewing me.
Thank you so much, my darling. Take care. Bye-bye.